So we just want to thank you for coming out and worshiping with us this morning here at Red Christian Fellowship. I am Pastor Paul. I liked Rick's challenge on the bowling. I think I will cover the cost of anybody who can beat Rick. It's a sure bet. Compliments to Rick. So, but you can take me up on it if you want. So I think there's 16 of us right now that's scheduled to go out bowling on Friday. So please join us. I think it should be a great time. And, you know, maybe we can all try to find a place to eat. Like I said, last time we did caroling, a whole bunch of us descended upon Denny's and we took over the restaurant. So, again, we'll see what happens coming out of bowling. We'll see how many people are, got hurt feelings and things. So, no, maybe we'll have one lane with bumper rails up too. So, you know, we'll put you in a position to succeed. So, all right. So we're getting back into our series here that we started a couple weeks ago. If you are just catching up with us here, it's a concept that was born out of kind of New Year's resolutions. I know we're really getting far away from January 1st here. But the idea of this sermon series was about, are we taking intentional steps in our spiritual walk? As much as we are in our diets, our exercises, our goals, you know, for our businesses and all that, do we have goals that we're exercising for the new year? Are there things on our minds? And I've said this all along, I feel like the Holy Spirit's always speaking to us about stuff. It's a matter of, one, if we're listening, two, are we being obedient? And so what I was hoping to do with this series is just lay out four things to kind of get the creative juices going, right? And so just going back a couple of weeks, the first thing we looked at was this idea of, are we prioritizing? Are we prioritizing God? Are we keeping him first? We looked at Matthew 6, right? The culmination of what he's talking about in verse 25 about not worrying leads to this big statement in verse 33 about, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto you. Right? So priorities. Is God first in our life? And how are we doing that? How are we keeping him first? Are there other things taking that spot right now in our life? Or are we really pursuing him with our heart and our mind fully? Then we looked at last week about how relationships can play a role in this process of our growing in faith. And so I think relationships are really important. You know, we talked about how friends are the number one influence in our lives. And so who we hang out with has a big part of where we're going and who we're becoming. And so we looked at that. We looked at the Proverbs passage, you know, the righteous choose their friends wisely, right? And so the wicked lead us astray. So big deal. God knew that relationships were going to be key, paramount. They're going to be important to us. I mean, go back to Genesis. He created us, right? Created Adam. He saw when he looked at Adam, it was not good that he was alone. So right off the bat, we were created to be in relationship. Right? So as we evaluate the relationships in our lives, what are the good ones? What are the bad ones? You know, where do we need to be cautious? Because they can play a huge role in who we're becoming in Christ. And so, again, these are some of the things that we're looking at. This week, we want to kind of continue down this road of the creative juices. And as you can see in the sermon here, we're going to look at better choices. How do we make better choices as we face the new year? What are some of the things that we use to determine whether this is a good choice or a bad choice? How do we discern, you know, within the context of what's good for us and what's bad for us? Does the scripture has things to say about that? And so the big idea here that I want to kind of talk about is that we know bad choices, right, can lead to toxic things that can harm us from the inside out. This is kind of the big idea for today, right? And so this is the stuff we're trying to avoid. So to kind of drive this home, because I think every day we make choices that can affect us from the inside out. And so I have a couple of examples of how this might happen. And so this one. Bacon. So New York Times article did a write-up on what is the worst foods you can eat and put in your body. Guess what's number one? Bacon. And I love the one picture on the left here. I think it's left on you guys. That's candy bacon. So we're just kind of kicking it up a notch right now. right? So we know it's bad, but let's just add sugar and all that, maybe maple syrup, and right? Second food they talked about that we consume probably on a daily basis, right? I know I'm killing you guys right now. This is the second worst food for us, is fried foods. So KFC, or if you guys have your own recipes for fried chicken, I'm getting you guys all hungry probably right now too, right? Bacon, fried chicken, what's next? Well, on the list was potato chips. So I went generic on this because I didn't want to offend anybody if you have a brand you like. But homemade chips are awesome. My dad makes some of the best chips ever. So these are the top three things we consume, right? These things can affect us from the inside out. Toxic things, right? Yet they're so good sometimes. And if you really want to kick it up a notch, I was talking to my good friend Scott Yale, who's the area director of Young Life. He said there's a fair that happens in Texas, I guess on a yearly basis, and they have fried Twinkies. I was like, fried Twinkies? I've never even heard of that. That's just bad. I mean, you know the story about Twinkies, they can exist through a whole nuclear holocaust and still be good, edible. Now, if you really want to just take it up a notch, we can wrap the Twinkies, fry them, and put them in bacon. And this is actually a real thing. I was like, no way. So has anybody had a fried Twinkie or bacon-wrapped Twinkie? That's good. I think you guys are doing good. All right, so I did this last week. I kind of enjoy this little confession time. I want you to take a second, right? Because, again, just kind of thinking through this, confession time with each other, take 30 seconds with each other and talk about a guilty pleasure of food that you like to eat that you know is not good for you. So go. 30 seconds, go. Talk to somebody next to you. Confession time. All right, 10 seconds. All right. So, here's what I want us to think about. How can we make better choices as we face this new year? As we think about the day in front of us, the week, the month, the year, how can we make better choices? And I think the scripture has a lot to say on this, so if you have your Bibles, we're going to open up to Proverbs 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7, 7 being kind of the main verse for us here. So would you stand with me so we can pray and read the word together? God, I thank you for this time that we can have together. And I pray, Lord, that as we get into your word from week to week here, Lord, with this series, that we would have those creative juices, that our minds and our hearts would be open to how your spirit is speaking to us. Because this is not a concise list. It's not everything we need to know. It's a starting point. It's a place where we can jump off and hopefully be obedient to how you're talking to us, Lord, for this new year. And so, again, we pray as we go through this that our eyes would be open as we just sung. We pray this in Jesus' name. All right. So, starting verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, this is the point of Proverbs, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discernment, discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding the Proverbs and parables. The saying and riddles of the wise. And here it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You may be seated. All right, so what are we learning? Well, verse 7 says it pretty clearly for us. Better choices begin with the fear of God. Pretty simple. Better choices begin with the fear of God. And this is what Solomon tells. Hey, you want to get wisdom? You want to do better in this year? You want to have a sense of how do I make good decisions versus bad decisions? How do I avoid those bad decisions? He says it starts with the fear of God. And this seems kind of contrary because a lot of times we talk about how God is love, right? God cares for us, things like that. And so there's a natural question here. Why would I ever be afraid of a loving God? Right? But again, if you dive into a little bit of word study here, you'll find that this word here kind of suggests that it's this idea of reverence and respect. Reverence and respect for God. And so when we begin to have a deep reverence and respect for God because of his position before us as all-powerful creator, and we take into account us as fallible humans, which means we make mistakes, we begin to live with wisdom in everyday choices. So there's a guy here, an evangelist, Ray Comfort. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. He was pivotal in Kirk Cameron, which I think you might know, is journey to faith. And speaking to this verse 7 here, he says this about the fear of God. He says, when men don't fear God, they give themselves to evil. I think that's such a powerful statement. When men don't fear God, they give themselves to evil. And this kind of leads me to this key thought about making better choices. God-fearing worship leads to God-given wisdom. God-fearing worship leads to God-given wisdom. So when we're given a list of choices that seem like good choices at the moment, we need to have some kind of way to discern which to embrace and which ones we need to flee from and steer clear of. Scripture is telling us that tool that God gives us is fear of him, respect and reverence of him. Now, another way to think about this is when you were young, right? Your parents, if you were getting too close to the stove, the hot stove, they may yell at you. They may smack your hand. And the point of that was that they weren't angry at you, right? But they wanted you to understand the danger that existed from touching a hot stove. So it's the same kind of idea of fear and reverence, right? They wanted to create a cause within you to go, you know what? That is a bad choice. It wasn't that they were angry at you. Again, keep that in mind. It was that they were protecting you, and they were giving you a reason for not to touch the stove. It's the same as we think about God here. And so this is where I believe God's heart is for us, and this is where he leads us to this next. I have this next key thought here. Having a fear of the Lord is meant to move us from fear to trust because we know he loves us. So the fear that he's trying to instill is actually his love for us in the scriptures. Now, this is all well and said, but so how do we develop a healthy fear of God? How do we develop? Because I'm always, when I'm approaching scripture, I want to know, why do I need to know this? Why should I care, right? How does this, you know, hit me where I am in life? Tell me how this works. So there's five things I want to give you this morning in lines of developing a healthy fear of God. And the first one here, I hope, really resonates with a lot of us who live here in Uri. And it's this: consider God's creation. This is one of the ways that Scripture outlines for us how we can develop a healthy fear of God. We live, let's face it, this is beautiful, right? And this is one of the things that were key to me when in my faith journey as I was considering Christianity. Was that when I looked on around everything I saw, the oceans, the mountains, you name it, how things worked, the relation from sun, the earth to the sun, all these things. There was so much design and purpose and intention that I looked at and I go, this can't just be random, right? Something has to be at work here. And I believe God uses his creation to reveal himself. So Psalm 8:3-4, David thought about this a lot, actually. He said, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. David saw creation and all that God created and then us. And he allowed the wonder of all that to amaze him. To amaze him to the point of thinking, how do I even rate in this whole creation? And so, again, this is one way that he started to have an appreciation, a fear for God, to look at his majesty around him. Now, in Exodus 20, God uses this again. It says this, when the people saw the thunder and the lightning, right? Here we are. heard the trumpet and saw the mountains of smoke, they trembled with fear. I was doing a camp out with some kids. Oh, it was at a music festival. And we've been caught in all sorts of rainstorms, but some of you guys can relate. Man, this thunder was like feet, it felt like, from our heads, and the lightning around us. You know what? I had a real quick, healthy respect for God and his creation. I did. I allowed it to penetrate my heart and my mind to think that way. And so if you go on to the reading here, the people stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us for yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, for we will die." This is what they were kind of deducting from the whole nature scene, right? And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid of God. God has come to test you, right, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." It's pretty powerful, right? So again, developing healthy respect. And then the Apostle Paul saw the same thing in Romans chapter 1, right? A lot of you guys know this verse pretty well. "Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." Basically, what Paul is saying is God's fingerprints are all over his creation. The evidence of exists, even if you, again, go back to the fact that you're not ready to accept our version from the scripture that God is who he is, people can look at creation and go, come to the same conclusion, at least at the very fact that this can't be random. There has to be a creator or a designer behind this. And even Paul is saying at the fundamental level, this is true. How do you look at this and go, yeah. No, he's like, there's no way. So another way I want to give you to develop a healthy fear of God is this: respect God's word. And I think having a high regard for the Bible, the word of God, is an essential part for us growing in the fear of the Lord. When we take time to read it, the scripture, and commit to applying its universal non-optional truths, we learn more about the nature of God, his ways and his role in his creation. So a couple of verses, again, to bear this out. All the people of Israel, when they were instructed to gather, they were gathered to hear the word of God so that they would learn, right, about him. And here's what we hear in Deuteronomy 31. "Assemble the people, men and women and children, and foreigners residing in your town, so they can listen and learn," what? "To fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of his law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess." We also know this, that the kings were instructed when they became in power to not only just read the word, but they were taught to rewrite it. Write a copy of the word for yourself and then read it all the days. And we get this right here in Deuteronomy 17. It says this: "Be sure to appoint over you a king the Lord your God chooses." As you can see, we're cutting verse 17 out because I want to get to 18 here and 19. "When he takes the throne of the kingdom, he is to write for himself a scroll copy of this law. Take from that of the Levitical priest. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere," there's that word, "the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of the law, his decrees." Think about this. How many of you guys have wrote up your own copy of the Bible, had one there and wrote one for yourself to read? You guys know there's power in that reinforcement, right? I mean, there's something to know here when it comes to fearing the Lord. And part of that is getting into his word. And then the scriptures remind us in the New Testament, right? All scripture is given by inspiration by God. And it's profitable, right, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped to do all works. Look, we also know this. When we read the scriptures, we get a sense of what to do and what not to do. We're talking about having better choices. How do we have a barometer for making good choices and avoiding bad choices? It starts with the fear of God. One of the ways is reading the scriptures. Right now, we're in a men's study on Tuesday. I invite you to join you. Guys, if you haven't been out, 7 o'clock on Tuesdays. We are looking intentionally at do's and don'ts. We're looking at the life of Saul, and we're going to be looking at the life of David. Those are starting to overlap where we are in our study. But the point was, looking at, okay, let's look at the model Saul. What sort of things can we learn from reading about his life that we can apply to our own? In lines of making choices, good choices or bad choices. And then as it progresses into David's reign, what can we learn from that? It's exactly what we're doing on Tuesday morning. We're reading this so we have a better understanding of how to make better choices when it comes to our faith walk. Family, business, you name it. So again, we're seeing example after example of how Scripture can help develop a healthy fear of God. The third thing is this, and this seems kind of weird, but welcome God's discipline. I think I've shared this before, and I would add this, it's not on the slide, don't run away from correction. We're living in a culture right now where it's everybody else's fault. Oh, you don't have to take responsibility for that. You only did that because this. It is so counterintuitive to what the Scripture actually teaches us. And as we get into the verses here, you'll see this. But when I finally started to get my life in order, it was because I accepted the discipline that my parents needed to give me. It was life-saving. How many can you say that? That discipline has saved your life. Well, that's exactly the point of discipline when it comes to Scripture here. Take a look at some of these verses here. Proverbs 3, 11, and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son, he delights in. That's huge. Hebrews talks about this a little bit differently. He says, if you're not disciplined, then you're illegitimate children. He doesn't care. So again, one of the ways that we can start to fear the Lord is to embrace the discipline that God brings into our lives. I'm telling you, you probably don't hear that too much in testimonies. Discipline saved my life. It did. And more so, he makes this point in Hebrews 12 here. It says this, endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as though they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But here is the point. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Again, you want to have a good sense of how to approach choices, to make wise choices. It comes back to having this fear of God. Like I said, tell me how this is done. Am I just supposed to be scared of him? No. It's a reverence and respect. How do I gain more of that? How do I, you know, adopt that tool into my toolbox in lines of facing decisions? It's having this fear of God. These are some of the things. I got two more for you here real quickly. And this one here, follow me on this, tithing. Kind of a big thing here. I know it's debated. Well, God wants a cheerful giver. Yeah, you'll see that in a second. It's not, you know, 10. No, it is 10. We can split hairs all about it, but I want you to kind of hear why we are to tithe, right? So Deuteronomy 14 says this, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine, and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord, your God, at the place he chooses as a dwelling for his name. And here it is, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. Why would he say that? Whether you come down on whether this is a literal tenth or not, or it doesn't apply anymore, whatnot, the point is God is trying to teach us something when we tithe. And the main lesson for what I understand is simply this. Where does our dependence, where does our hope come from? Where do our resources come from? It comes from the Lord. And he wants us to understand that. By giving that tithe, we're saying, man, I could really use this, but I am trusting God will take care of me. That is the point, that God will take care of me, right? And so, listen, Paul, the Apostle Paul, even sees that there is a spiritual principle of blessing in this as well, or a withheld blessing, right? So he writes this to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. This is an idea of being invested in God's kingdom. Are you willing to give, trust God for what you may not have? Or are you willing to hold back? And he says, there's a principle here that plays out, that God allows to play out. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves, here it is, a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that you in all things and at all times have all that you need. You will abound in every good work. The Old Testament book Malachi talks about this. It's the only place that God says, test me. Think about that. It's the only place in Scripture where God says, you want to test me? Test me in finances. And see what happens. But again, this is a tough one because we want to be in control. And then the final thing I want to give you this is this idea of ascribing glory to God. Worship. I think this is a key way in which we can develop a healthy fear of God. King Solomon, in all that he was renowned as the wisest man we know this ever lived, he made serious mistakes too. Over time, Solomon forsook the fear of God and eventually led him to worship false gods. He started to worship other religions and other things, and he started incorporating all this stuff. And God held him responsible for these things. Actually, you can read about these judgments for his acts in Deuteronomy 17, 1 Kings 4, 1 Kings 11, you can see how him forsaking a fear of God impacted the nation of Israel. That being said, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon kind of comes to some conclusions. And here's what he has to say about life. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. This is how David says, look, all life is meaningless, but what we need to do, what he concludes, is we need to fear the Lord. Here's the purpose of life. Here's the meaning of life. Ascribe glory to God. We need to worship him. Every deed is going to be called into account, good and bad. And so, again, worship can be just another way that we can grow in our understanding of what it means to have a healthy fear of God. And so, again, as I look at this, I don't want you to just stand up here and say, hey, you guys got to make better choices this year. You know? That's not helpful. What is helpful is for you to go, so how does that happen? How do I have a better understanding of how to fear God? If it's not this being afraid, but respect and reverence, how do I gain more of that so that I can make better choices? And so just to review real quickly, it's these five things. Consider God's creation. Respect God's word. Welcome God's discipline if you're going through a season of that. Think about how you're tithing. And then ascribe glory to God. So as we look to make better choices, especially as we face another year of decisions, give some consideration to this. Like I said, these four topics that we're talking about, next week we're going to be talking about better witness. Again, these are not all the things we need to think about. These are just a starting point. Scripture is full of things that God wants to get our attention on. But the question comes back to, are you saying yes to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you listening to him? And are you responding in obedience? We talked about this in the James series, right? He says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, right? And so again, it's coming back to, so a couple of questions here in closing to consider about choices here. What choices have you made in the last year that, given a second chance, you would change? And what choices do you know lie ahead of you that you need God's wisdom to navigate? Remember, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this time here, Lord. And sometimes it's light and fun. to hear the things that you have to say to us. Sometimes it's sobering. And I pray, Lord, that I don't know where we are on this with everybody in this room here, but I pray, Lord, that as we're facing another year, as we have to make relationship decisions, church decisions, finances, Lord, decisions, things about our work, you name it, God, things about our family. I pray, Lord, that we would have that wisdom that you desire to give us. But I pray, Lord, that part of our having better choices would be having a healthy respect and fear for who you are. One leads to the other, and help us to see that connection here, God. And so I pray, Lord, that this wouldn't be an overwhelming thing for anybody, but maybe we start with creation and just considering your majesty in that. Or maybe it's something else, God, out of that list. But we would start somewhere so that our choices would honor you better in this new year. And really bring life to us. God, I thank you for this time that we can be in your word. We thank you for the truth of it. And we just praise you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to invite you to stand for our closing song. And next week is going to start a two-week series on Better Witness. I'll start it, and then Scott Yale is going to finish it in week two. So, again, hope you come back for the last few messages in this series.